Thank you so much, Pastor Aaron. It is truly an honor and joy to be with you today, and kind of the privilege that you've invited me to share with you. We're so thankful for our longtime partnership with the members here at Dallas Bible. And for several summers, the youth have come down and have actually lived in South Dallas for a week and have helped us to minister in that neighborhood by providing backyard Bible clubs at one of the local parks, of loving on the elderly at Park Manor, of doing construction projects, and a number of ways in which they have been able to share God's love with those in our neighborhood. And so we count it a joy and privilege to be here. And again, thank you so much for the many ways in which your church have partnered with us to make a difference to those in the South Dallas community. And so it is a joy to come and share God's word with you on today. I hope I'm not like the young preacher that went to a church to preach, that was called to a church, and he preached his first message, and as he was leaving out of the church, one of the ladies, elderly ladies in the church, looked at him and shook his hand and said, "Preacher, you are something else." The next Sunday, the preacher got up to preach, and after he finished preaching, the elderly lady, as he was leaving the church, shook his hand and said, "Preacher, you are something else." The third Sunday, he got up to preach and preached a soul-stirring message, and as he finished the message and was leaving the church, the same lady walked up to him, shook his hand and said, "Preacher, you are something else." And he said, "Ma'am, every Sunday after I preach, you always say, 'Preacher, you are something else.' What does that mean?" To which she replied, "I've heard you preach three times, and after hearing you preach three times, I've come to the conclusion you are no preacher. You are something else." And so we hope that you don't walk away saying, "Preacher, you were something else." Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day and for an opportunity to share your word, and we pray, God, that you would challenge our hearts to be more on mission with you, to share your love with those who are hurting. We bless you and praise you. Thank you so much for the work of Dallas Bible. And we would pray, God, that you would continue to bless the work here. For we commit this time into your hands and ask your richest blessing be upon us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to call your attention to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. The story of the demonic of Gerasene, the demonic at Gerasene. And I'm not going to read the passage up front because we'll be looking at several verses there. But out of Mark chapter 5, we want to talk about the testimony of a changed life. The testimony of a changed life. And I think the point that the writer of Mark wants us to grab is that when God has changed our lives, when God has worked marvelously in our lives, we are challenged then to share God's love, to share that hope with others around us. That God has changed us, God has transformed us, God has saved us on purpose in order that we might be on mission with him, to move even outside of our comfort zone, to share God's love with others. The testimony of a changed life out of Mark chapter 5. But before we get to Mark chapter 5 and Mark chapter 4, there's a situation that arises. In Mark chapter 4, in fact, verse 35, Jesus says to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side. Let us go over to the other side." And the point that I believe Jesus wants to make is there is something that we need to accomplish on the other side. He leaves the familiarity of the Jewish territory to move to the Gerasenes, which is going to be a Gentile area. And so he says to his disciples, "We've got work to do, but it is work to do on the other side." And in Mark chapter 4, as they are en route to go to the other side, to meet an individual that is in crisis, a storm, a severe storm arises. A severe storm arises. And it is almost is if the devil is trying to do all he can to keep Jesus and his disciples from moving to the other side, to meet this individual. As they make their way, a storm arises. In fact, Jesus is on the in the hinder part of the ship, in the stern, and he speaks up in the midst of this storm as the disciples are frantic, as the disciples are afraid, and says, "Peace, be still," which demonstrates that Jesus has power over chaotic situations. Jesus has the power over the storms that arises in an individual's life. As they continue on their journey, chapter 5, verse 1 says, "They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes," this Gentile area, where there was few who had faith in God. Certainly a land of a lot of unbelievers, individuals who had not been introduced to the Christ, individuals who were without hope and the hope in him. And as they crossed the lake, going to the region of the Gerasenes, when Jesus got out of the boat, there was a man who had an impure or demonic spirit. And in fact, the Bible says this man came out from among the tombs. In fact, not only did he come out from among the tombs, this man lived in the tombs. This man lived in the tombs. This man lived in the cemetery, comfortable among dead people. And you know who live in the cemetery? People who are going nowhere. And this man felt comfortable because of his situation, because of his background, being among people who were just like him, dead, in distress, going nowhere. A very hopeless situation. He felt comfortable being in the cemetery among dead individuals who were going nowhere. The text says that this man was a menace to society. In fact, it goes on in verse 3, that no one could bind him anymore. Over and over and over again, they would lock him up, but he would get out. They could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. In fact, verse 4 says, his background was he had often been chained hand and foot, but he would break apart the chains. He would break the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one knew what to do with this individual. He was hopeless. He was in despair. He was a menace to society, going nowhere. No one was strong enough to subdue him. In fact, verse 5 says, day and night, among the tombs, among those dead individuals, and in the hills, he would cry out, and he would cut himself trying to destroy himself. cut himself with stones. Felt like, what's the use of going on? Life is not worth living. My life is shattered. My life is broken. Here he is, this individual, hopeless. This individual who is in despair. This individual who is going nowhere. This individual who found his comfort zone, even being around people who were just like him, dead. In fact, it reminds me of Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul writes, we all were dead in our transgressions and our sins. Hopeless. When he saw Jesus at a distance, he fell at his feet in front of him and shouted to the top of his voice, what do you want to do with me, Jesus, Son of God? In God's name, don't torture me, for Jesus had said, come out of this man, you impure spirit. What do you want to do with me? Certainly, Jesus. You're going to be just like everybody else. You're going to write me off. You're going to conclude that I'm not worth the time of day. Jesus. What good, what purpose can I have? Jesus looks at the man and says to him, to this demon-possessed individual, what is your name? What is your name? To which this demonic man replies, my name is Legion, for we are many. My name is Legion, for we are many. Jesus, you want to know who I am? I am an individual that have a whole lot of stuff going on. Probably an individual raised in a single family. In fact, if he was from our neighborhood in a community where 97% of the boys or 97% of the children come from a single family home, 56% of grandparents are raising at least one grandchild. It is a community in chaos, a community in crisis, and a lot of young people make bad decisions at an early age. Jesus, you want to know what's going on with me? I got a lot of issues going on. Started making decisions at an early age. Never knew who my father was. Got caught up in drugs, and selling, just trying to get some of the basics of life. Moving beyond selling drugs to becoming one of my best customers as a drug user. The story of many urban youth who are in crisis, who are hopeless, who are in despair, going down the wrong path. Jesus, you want to know who I am? My name is Many, because I have a lot of issues. I have a lot of problems. I have a lot of challenges that I'm facing. didn't start out this way, Jesus, but life has happened in my situation. And now I'm in a situation where I'm broken. I'm in a situation where I'm in despair. I'm in a situation where I am hopeless. They have tried everything. I have been to every kind of rehab program that there is. And I oftentimes leave worse than when I came. It's kind of like an individual that we've all heard of. In fact, there's a classic piece written in his biography. And his biography is written by a well-known author, a lady by the name of Mother Goose. You heard his story as she tells it. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. What is the point that Mother Goose is trying to make about this gentleman by the name of Humpty Dumpty? One day this man is going through life. He is going through life's journey as normal people do in the weariness of his journey. Humpty Dumpty sits on a wall. When he went to lean back, she says he had a great fall. Can you imagine the scene? A gentleman on the ground, his life is shattered in a thousand of broken pieces. How do we put the broken pieces of this man's life back together again? How do we restore hope? How do we restore his dreams? Well, she says that when the government got involved, when the politicians heard about this man being on the ground, broken and shattered and hopeless and despair, what they did was they dispatched all of their horses and all of their men with one mission. Go down there, and all I want you to do is put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Well, you know how she ends the story, don't you? All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put that broken man's life back together again. Because with all of their resources, with all of the money, with all of their political power, they left that messed up man more messed up than that messed up man was in the first place. Jesus meets this man who was broken, who was shattered, who was without dreams, who is without hope. Come out of him. I see something better in him. Come out of him, Jesus says, because I don't view this man for who he is. I see him for what he can become. In that region, verse 11, since it was largely Gentile, verse 11 of chapter 5 says there was a large herd of pigs who were feeding nearby on the hillside. And the demons begged Jesus, "Jesus, please send us into those pigs." Notice, "Please let us go into them." Let us go into those pigs. unclean. In fact, Jesus gives permission. And they went into the pigs, and 2,000 in number rushed over that steep bank into the lake and were drowned. 2,000 pigs died. Being a Gentile nation, a Gentile area, when those pigs went over the cliff, those townsmen didn't just see pigs going over the cliff. They saw bacon. They saw pork chops. They saw pork loins. If you're from my neighborhood, they saw chitlins and pig feet. And at $3.50 a pound for pork, and an average pig weighing 180 pounds and 2,000 pigs, almost $1.3 million of financial loss. Notice they begged. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this to Jesus, reported this to the town and the countryside, and the people had to come see what had happened. The people had to come see what has made such a disturbance in our, what has caused such a financial loss, what has upset the culture, and who has upset the culture of our day. As they come out to see what has happened, when they came, verse 15, to Jesus, they saw a man who had been possessed by a legion of demons, one who had many issues, and notice his situation. Before, he was living among the tombs. Before, according to Matthew, he was naked. Before, he was without and in despair. Before, he had no dreams. He had no future. Before, he was a menace to society. Before, he lived in a chaotic situation. But after this encounter with the Christ, the text says he was sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Not afraid of him while he was out there in his madness, but afraid now that they see a transformed life. And I tell people all the time, Jesus, that the devil is not concerned about you in your pre-Christ condition. It is when you have a changed life. It is when you have been transformed that you become a threat to the devil. He is sitting there in his clothes, in his right mind. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and about the pigs as well. And the people began to plead with Jesus. Jesus, leave the region. Jesus, we don't want to have anything to do with you. Jesus, go away. Jesus was getting into the boat because after all, he had come over to that side for that one purpose, for that one man. He was willing to come through a storm, a tough situation, to touch one life. Jesus was getting into the boat, And the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus, I want to be with you. You've changed my life. You've transformed my life. Jesus, you've made a difference in my life. I want to hang with you, Jesus. Jesus, can we now be homeboys? But you know what the text says, verse 19? Jesus did not let him go. But Jesus says to him, you've got work to do. You've got work to do. You have a transformed life that is a powerful testimony. I know it becomes easy to want to hang out with me. I know it becomes easy to move near me in your comfort zone. But young man, God has not redeemed you for the sake of just hanging around me. He has redeemed you with the responsibility to go back, to let your light shine, so that your life can be a witness to others. In fact, it reminds me of a story I've heard about our great state of Texas. You know, we in Texas love football. Love football. But if you ever notice when you go to a game, the team gathers in a huddle. And the purpose of the huddle is so that you can get instructions, so that when you break huddle, you are given what you need in order that you can score or stop the opposition. The huddle is important. But you've got to be careful that you don't spend too much time in the huddle. Because if you stay in your huddle too long, you get penalized. Because the people who paid the money to come see the action on the field did not come to see how well you look when you huddle up. They want to know, when you break huddle, did your huddle make a difference? Oftentimes in our churches, we get off on our huddle. Didn't the preacher preach well in the huddle today? The praise team sure did sing well in the huddle today. We prayed great prayers in the huddle today. And the world out there is asking the question, when you break huddle, what difference does it make? Jesus says to this man, it's time for you to break huddle. It's time for you to move beyond your comfort zone. God has not saved you. God has not transformed you. God has not invested in your life. God has not allowed you to overcome the legions that are in your past for you to enjoy it for yourself. He has called you to go back to share a message of hope with those who don't have hope. Because, young man, back in your hood are a lot of individuals who are just like you, in despair, no dreams, hanging around people who are going nowhere. And the reality is, if Jesus can change your life, he can change their lives. Go home. Go to your own people. Tell them how the Lord has had mercy on you. You know what you were, but now people can see who you are. Friend of mine, good friend of mine who's been a friend a long time, Don Turnbull, was here with us. He's worked with us many a years at Cornerstone. And he comes down to Cornerstone on Sunday mornings, and every now and then when I preach, I forgot I need to translate some of the words that I say. And one phrase that I often use is an individual who was tore up from the floor up. So we were talking this week, and he says, I finally figured out what that means. Individuals whose life is a mess. In fact, we get the idea because I think the group here at Dallas Bible who has helped us on some renovation projects, and a lot of times when we do those renovation projects, we have to go down to tear the floor up because there's oftentimes foundation issues. This man had foundation issues. Tore up from the floor up, but God was willing to rebuild his life, beginning with the foundation. Had mercy on them. Because mercy is when God withholds from us some things that we shouldn't have gotten. This man sure shouldn't have gotten the good end of the stick that he ended up with. God had mercy on him. And you know what this man did? This man that many had written off, this man that many who had said that he is a menace to society, this man that many had said was going nowhere, when Jesus changed and transformed his life, verse 20 says, so that man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis and those 10 cities and those surrounding cities around him how much the Lord, how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed, blown away by the testimony of a changed life. In fact, he could say much as the popular song Worth says that's out now, You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so that I could be free, so that I could be whole, so I could tell everyone that I know. Or if you're old school, his testimony probably was Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. The reality is God has given all of us a testimony. God has changed all of our lives. God did not see us for who we were. He saw us for what we could become. And now that God has changed and transformed our lives, He calls us to break huddle, to move beyond our comfort zone, to go and tell a dying world that if He did it for me, if He changed and transformed my life, He is able to do the same for you.